So you've probably spent a lot of time dialing in your gym's brand. The look and feel of every inch of your facility has been designed to create a specific client experience and reinforce your brand message. Now let's look at your retail shelves. Do the bars, beverages, apparel, and the other items you sell match your curated style? Far too often, gyms will have their apparel's aesthetic dialed in, and it sells. But the supplements on their shelves don't. Why is that? Typically, it's due to a lack of brand cohesion between the products. You've created a crisp, modern-looking aesthetic, and then you're slinging a supplement product that looks nothing like your brand. That mismatch causes confusion in the customer and ultimately ends up in them not making a purchase. That's why I love recommending SFH to gym owners. Stronger, Faster, Healthier is a supplement company that has the best packaging I've seen in the fitness space. It looks premium, which allows you to charge a premium price. Not to mention the 7 different flavors of their various whey protein products that are out of this world delicious. Their push pre-workout is my new go-to, and they even have a caffeine-free option as well for your members who are looking for an alternative energy source. And their strong product is a perfect combination with their whey protein that's packed with creatine and glutamine, and it eliminates the need for your members to have to buy multiple different tubs of different products. Listen, I'm obviously a big fan of the products they sell, but I'm an even bigger fan of the first impression prospective members get when they walk in your gym and they see these sexy looking bags on your shelves. It just adds this sense of professionalism and premium labeling to your retail section that will help consumers feel confident in purchasing supplements from your gym. And for a limited time, SFH is offering all of my listeners 20% off all of their products over at sfh.com. Just use the promo code GYMTALK20 and you'll receive 20% off your entire order. Again, guys, that promo code is GYMTALK20. So what are you waiting for? Literally, go use the code. Try them out for yourself. And once you've realized, holy shit, these things are legit, this is the real deal, then hit SFH up again and set up a wholesale account and start making money on these awesome products. All right, guys, that's it. On with the podcast. What is up, guys? It is Stu, and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. And today we're talking about adding 10% to your total annual revenue through the retail side of your business. So this is going to be apparel, supplements, and then what I call instant gratification, so food and beverage, all right? I'm going to hit you with the math first, and then we'll get into the guts of it, all right? So the math of this, let's use the numbers. You have 150 recurring memberships at your gym, all right? So 150, and let's say the price point is $150 per month, okay? That's the average price point, which probably is too low depending on your market, who knows. But $150 per month, that's gonna give you $22,500 per month in total monthly revenue, all right? Now again, this is very basic. We're just doing memberships time membership rate to get the total monthly revenue, the TMR. We all know there's other factors that go in, punch cards and all this other, and apparel and all, but we're just gonna stick with this basics for math. So $22,500 in total monthly revenue. Now, over the course of a year, if we do that, we're gonna get $270,000 in total annual revenue, all right? 150 members at $150 per month is going to be $270,000 in total annual revenue. Now, my recommendation is always that we get our members to spend 10% of what they pay monthly in the recurring subscription on average per month. So 10% of $150 is $15. And if everybody on average spent $15 per month with 150 members, that means we're generating an additional $2,250 a month. Do that over the course of a year, that comes out to an additional $27,000, which is, yes, easy math, 10% of the 270. Okay, now add that back in. Now we've generated an additional 10%. We were doing 270. But once we capture, you know, a really effective retail game where we're getting people to spend on average 10%, now we're adding up we're at $297,000. You're pretty much tapping the door of $300,000 in total annual revenue, which is very respectable, very, very respectable on 150 members at that price point of 150. So here's the guts of it, guys.
So this, you guys, you know, obviously been talking a lot about SFH and supplements, but also on the retail side too. This is on the apparel and the instant gratification side. I teach all this inside of MGU, where we need our retail spot of our business to be a revenue stream that hits on a couple psychological points. Okay. So for example, when somebody walks in the door, right? They're rushing the class, right? They had left that meeting late. The babysitter was late, you know, whatever it was that, you know, made them rush. You know, there's a lot of times people come in and like, oh, this workout's going to suck. I didn't even have time to eat. We all have heard that, like, a member complain about the shitty life scenario that is going to make this workout less than ideal because their day got hectic. That's where psychologically there is the opportunity to sell instant gratification. Now, this is food and beverage, but it could also be apparel. It could also be supplementation. It could be all three. So think of the scenario where Sally runs in, you know, and she's running. Let's say, you know, let's not even say she's running late. She gets there and she's complaining about how exhausted she is, right? So you go ahead and you give her a sample of your pre-workout, right? Like, let's say you're using Push's, SFH's Push product, which is great. And she takes it. She has a, you know, and she's energized now. She has a great workout. She comes out. She goes, what was that? I want to buy it. You ensure that you can get it for her at the cheapest price possible, not cheaper on Amazon, anything like that. And you go ahead and you add it to her account, and you go and you order it, and it's going to be there within the next week or so. Okay. There's that example. Let's say Sally comes in and she is, I swear to God, I had this happen. I had a woman come in and her like Lululemon, like whatever top she had on, fucked. Like, I don't know whether she'd spilled a coffee on it or whatever. It had this giant stain on the front. And so she's like, I can't work out in this. Can I buy one of your tank tops? Of course you can, Sally. She buys a tank top, instant gratification, right? You can see the same thing for when somebody comes in and they are hungry or they are thirsty and they need something to eat or drink real quick. Boom, your Fit Aids, your Celsius, your bottles of water, your whatever you're selling, bars, whatever, that's where this comes into play. So when we think about instant gratification, those scenarios are layups. Because what are they going to be like? You know what? I don't want to buy from here. I'm going to drive down the street to the gas station where I can get a Fit Aid for 75 cents cheaper. The nice thing about instant gratification, when that is the sales psychology driving the purchaser, you win because of supply and demand. They've already parked. They're already in your building. They're going to buy what's there. They're not price shopping it. Your price can be very inflated. I remember gym owners back in 2013, 2012, giving me a hard time for like marking up waters really high and Fit Aids really high. And like, why? The supply and demand is in my favor. They can 100% bring their own. But when they don't, I now am in a very unique situation. This is why arenas, sports events, Disneyland, these places charge astronomical rates for beverages because the economics allow them to do so. This is not price gouging. People are like, oh, it's such price gouging. No, it's not, you piece of shit. You fucking, you blow me away with the amount of ignorance you have. Just because someone can sell something for less, but they choose to sell it for more, is not price gouging. Price gouging is a phenomenon that I truly don't even believe truly happens. There is supply and demand. And when you're in those scenarios, you're in an arena, you're in a place where you can't leave, right? You're in a place where like the customer's going to choose not to leave because it's not more convenient. You are able to increase the fee due to convenience. Okay. This is just the economics. The economics of a 16 ounce can of Bud Light inside of a football stadium is far different than the economics of that same 16-ounce can at the local gas station. Way different. So, when you understand business like that and you stop acting like such an emotional little bitch ass, you really just start understanding, like, okay, that's just how it is. In this world, the supply and demand is in the favor of the vendor, and they are able to charge a convenience fee, and that a convenience fee is the extra $4, $6, $8, whatever it is that they're adding on top of it. Gym owners, you can do the same. There's obviously like a level to that there where people are like, oh, dude, that's ridiculous. I'm not paying that. Okay, it's fine. You don't need a Fit Aid before class. At a fucking, you know, you're watching Frozen on Ice like I was a few weeks ago, and a Stella is going to be $12, and I'm going to be at Frozen on Ice for almost 3 hours. Yeah, I'll pay fucking whatever so I can have a buzz on while fucking Stella and Encanto or whatever the hell is going on in the background. So anyway, That's the idea there. So your instant gratification stuff, you can, you know, we can have higher margins as far as that goes. Now, when we are talking about other products, like things that don't match the psychology of I need instant gratification for whatever reason, we're talking about things that are maybe preventative, meaning this is going to prevent a pain they're going to have later. For a lot of you guys that sell advanced retail options like knee sleeves, wrist wraps, like, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, what did I see one gym do? Like those, not like copper toe, but like things that go around joints to keep them warm and, you know, increase circulation. Even supplementation post, like pre or post workout, like protein. These are all things people are going to buy preventatively so they don't find themselves in a position of pain, and pain being relative, like, ah, oh, man, I got in that good workout and now I believe in an anabolic window and I need to get some protein in me, but I got to go right into a meeting. Okay, there's buy the protein, bag of protein, and now go home or go to your office, make it, you know, make a shake and you're good to go. So apparel can also be like that. Less on the apparel side. The only preventative thing we see there is like when people are afraid it's going to go out. Like they know you're not buying a lot of inventory on it and they're afraid it's not going to be available later. So they will be preventative of that pain by purchasing it now. So these are kind of the initial things I want you thinking of with your retail strategies. How do we create, again, the convenience, supply and demand scheme to be in your favor? And then also, you know, how do you position things as to far as they're going to be help somebody prevent future pain? Now, a few things to think about, especially on the beverage and food side, and this is one that owners don't love to think about, is they are the more products you have, the more that you'll sell. The more SKUs you have, the more you'll sell. However, the more inventory you'll have to have. Luckily, a lot of the products have very long shelf lives. That's why the only things I would ever sell are things that would last pretty much forever. And I do understand, if it lasts forever, Stu, it can't be that fucking good for you. You're not wrong. Right? Now, there are some healthier things that have to be refrigerated and have decent shelf lives, not awesome ones. And you got to find, you know, what fits your core values, your ethics, your desired financial returns or you know, desired metrics for your retail section of your business. But think about it like this. You walk into a gas station, right? And you go to the beverage section and you look, there's 15 different flavors of one brand of energy drink. And then there's 7 brands of energy drinks. There is so much to pick from. And repeat, you know, kind of repeat this saying to yourself enough times until it makes sense. Retail that doesn't sell, sells other retail. So for example, you have, let's say you could use Fit. I'm using Fit Aid as an example. Let's say you have 4 flavors of Fit Aid. You are more likely to sell someone a Fit Aid than having one flavor. Think about that. You have one flavor of Fit Aid. Someone comes in. Oh man, I'm thirsty. What do you got? We got water and Fit Aid. Okay. What flavor of Fit Aid? Citrus, lime, guzzle blast, whatever the fuck. And they're like, oh man, I don't want a citrus, lime, guzzle blast. That sounds disgusting. And rude. I don't want that. Well, I guess I'll just go with the water or I'm not going to get anything at all. Now, we have sizzle or guzzle lime blast, whatever the fuck I said. And we have pomegranate and we have lemon and we have orange. Like, oh, well, I like orange. Okay. Like, again, more options allow someone to find something they like. Because most people, especially when it comes to taste, like when it comes to things that are going to be on our tongue, our taste buds, taste is so finicky. It's so particular. And someone's like, oh my God, I hate, like me personally, fucking hate pomegranate. Well, it's, I just, whatever reason, I don't like the taste of it. So if pomegranate was your only option, I'm not getting shit. I'd rather be thirsty. But you have anything else other than pomegranate, now that other option looks incredible. Even if it's something I don't like. Like, I also don't like the taste of blueberry. But I would literally taste almost anything other than pomegranate. So blueberry sounds fucking attractive compared to pomegranate. So once again, retail that doesn't sell, like pomegranate to me, will sell me on other retail, right? The same thing works on the supplement side. You know, typically chocolate, vanilla, those are going to be your go-to flavors. A lot of brands, SFH included, like their mint chip is one of my absolute favorites. They have a lot of great solid brand or flavors. However, the more exotic you get with flavors. Again, you're minimizing the percentage of people who are going to be into that particular flavor. So it's best to kind of stick with your basics, but I recommend all your supplement powders, all your pre-workouts, your fish oils, all that stuff. I recommend they go through the pre-sale process. I talk about this in MGU. I'm going to do another podcast on this, so I'm not going to go super, super in depth, but essentially pre-order them. Let people know when it's coming in. You charge them ahead of time for your MSRP, right? Your retail cost. So they're paying retail. You turn around, you keep the profit, and then you turn around and spend the wholesale amount with the company, right? Like if it was SFH, you'd go ahead, you'd take the pre-order, you pocket the profit first, and then take what's left over, which is the wholesale cost and your sales and use tax, and you go and you buy the product from SFH or whoever your supplement company is. Now, that is the best. That is the lowest risk cost, like lowest risk way to run retail. You keep enough on the shelves so people can see, and you keep at least one product bag behind the desk so people can sample. But beyond that, that's how I recommend on pre-selling. Again, a future podcast, I will go into deeper details on this. But when you're thinking about the risk of selling retail and like going back to the original number, we're trying to get to 10%, that makes it super easy. You're never, because the way this goes off the rails is when you're chasing 10%, but you're always sitting on unpurchased inventory, apparel, food and beverage, supplements. The more you sit on that hasn't moved, that percentage number has to go up because you've spent money, you've increased operating cost, okay, to get the product, but it hasn't moved. So you never realize the gain. And now that number is going to have to go from 10% to 15%. Or even higher. So this is where pre-selling your heavy products and apparel, do this with apparel as well. You know, we did really high-end apparel at Urban where like our wholesale cost on a hoodie would have been $45, right? A lot of you guys are like, oh my God, our wholesale cost is 12 and we sell the hoodie for 20. I'm like, yeah, that's why I made more money than you. But it's also why we had really fucking dope apparel. We used Wim Tee, we used Ruby Couture, we used like really good retail brands. That made really cool, trendy shit, and they charge us a lot. And we just turn around and charge the member because those motherfuckers are walking in with $125 Lululemon leggings anyway. They've already said, hey, me over here, yeah, I spend that kind of money on apparel. If you have really dope apparel, I'll spend that kind of money with you. But gym owners still decide to go get next level tri-blend t-shirts and sell them for $20, and they wonder why they don't care about their apparel, like their retail section. Like, yeah, retail doesn't really do much for us. I'm like, no, motherfucker, you don't do much for your retail section. That's the difference. Talk to gyms that sell high-end apparel. They move supplements. They have lots of instant gratification, bars and beverages, and the average person is spending that 10%, right? They're adding 10% at the end of the year to their top line revenue. That's impressive. Like that is a gym that makes a huge fucking difference, especially because your margins on these products are phenomenal. Okay. So when you are going ahead and you're looking at creating the need for that 10%, a lot of people, this is what I'll kind of wrap up with here. A lot of people like to go ahead and like argue like, well, dude, no one's going to like, my membership's $200 a month. So what, someone's gonna spend $20 a month on average on retail? I'm like, yeah, 100%. So month one, they don't buy anything, okay? Month two, they don't buy anything. Month three, they buy one hoodie. Maybe it was like us. We wholesaled it for 45. We sold it for 80, okay? So now they've just spent $80 with you. That's literally 4 months of the $20 average you needed right there in 1 month. Or, you know, a couple months they spend, you know, $10 to $15 in Fit Aids, waters, a bar here or there. And then 1 month when you have a seasonal drop of like baseball 3/4 length sleeves that are really fucking cool, or those new joggers or whatever you have branded apparel wise, they drop $60, $70, $80. Right. So, I mean, again, it's on average over the year, and generally most gyms can do well above 10%. I just don't even talk about it publicly. I have those like private conversations with gyms who do more than 10% because a lot of people just can't even wrap their head around 10%. So I figured the message would be lost. Guys, these are some thoughts I have on adding, you know, a minimum of 10% to your top line revenue for your micro gym. but it only, again, this needs to be addressed when everything else is handled. If you're the rest of the business is a work in progress, let's not worry about this. But by and large, this is something that a gym that is looking to like sophisticate, don't start another service and product. Just sell retail. Trust me. Everyone, like look at every brick and mortar business. They sell retail. Like this is something that's tried and true. You coming up with, dude, my new hit 30 class that's 30 minutes of fat blasting, tummy torching, crazy tempo based, you know, upside down kettlebell, WEC method fitness is going to be the shit. I'm like, yeah, or just a thought. You don't fuck around with that experiment right now. You do the easy money. The money is also good, like the thing that's directly benefiting the customer because they get generally most of the time instant gratification out of it or prevents future pain and do some retail. I don't know. That's just one guy's fucking opinion. All right, guys. Until I talk to you in the next podcast, have a great fucking day.